Today, I'd like to give you another tool that I'm calling the Rubik's Cube. So if you've been around a little while and you perhaps remember the 80s or the 90s or watched the film The Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith, you will be familiar with the Rubik's Cube. It's that little cube that's got six sides and it's got lots of different little colors on it, and you move it in different ways. And the idea is that you mix up the colors and then you actually put it together so that each side has a different color. So the Rubik's Cube is a really good example or a great analogy for me to use to speak today about how you can use the Rubik's Cube to start to interrupt or to break through emotional patterns that are kind of keeping you in a cycle, and to diffuse the charge around emotions that are creating what you don't want, so you can choose emotions that will create what you do want. Kind of a mouthful, but that's the topic today. So the Rubik's Cube, as I was just saying, you know, it's this kind of, it's a cube that, it's about solving a puzzle, really. And life can be a little bit like a puzzle, can't it? It can be sort of a bit tricky and a bit difficult, and we find ourselves doing things and our life just doesn't look the way that we hoped it would. And particularly if you're a fan of the Law of Attraction or The Secret or anything like that, and you're deliberately creating or endeavoring to deliberately create the reality that you see outside of yourself, it can be very frustrating when you're doing everything you know how to do and just for some reason it just doesn't really quite happen for you. So we're going to be talking about how to use six different questions to break through the emotional patterns, to recognize what's going on, to interrupt, I guess, what's happening, and to maybe shift your perception or your perspective. Because the minute you shift your perspective, you diffuse the emotions. So we're going to be looking at six questions today that you can use to begin to interrupt or to break through some of the patterns that might be kind of in a bit of a groove. What happens is that shows up in a way that as we go through our life, we find ourselves reacting to things in a similar way or behaving or in a certain way. And what we want to be able to do is have tools that are going to interrupt that. Because if we look at the Law of Attraction and your ability to really create what you want, which is, you know, what I'm all about, power and freedom is about harnessing your internal power, you know, to create the freedom to live the life that you want to live. And so what we want to be able to do is kind of begin to shift some of the emotion. The emotion is the energy that's actually delivering the results, actually creating the reality that you see outside of yourself. Not so much the things you think, although your thoughts and your emotions are really connected together. It's really important to begin to recognize the emotions that are showing up on repeat, if you like, and actually delivering those results that perhaps aren't what you actually want to see in your life. Cool. So I'm going to just go through these six questions. And then when we get to question three, then there's kind of an activity that you can do, something that you can prepare ahead of time. Because I'm a great believer in the fact is that often we find with these patterns, they just kind of happen without our awareness. So the more tools that you can have to use in your life on a day-to-day basis, the better. That means that when something happens, you're already equipped. You've already got a tool. You've already got a skill. You've already got a way to interrupt what's happening or to recognize what's happening and to shift it and change it. So that's one of the things that we're going to talk about today with the Rubik's Cube. And if you think about a cube, it's always got six sides. So we're going to ask six questions. And within that six questions, we're going to find six ways that you can shift your perception or your perspective. So the six questions to break through emotional patterns. So the first one is kind of really the hint of what's going on, because we have a thought pattern and that thought pattern is kind of in a groove. But what happens is that we have emotions around that. And it's almost like your emotions are the feedback system to let you know what you're thinking. So rather than ask the question, what am I thinking? The first question is, what am I feeling about this situation? So if you're in a situation or if you're in a dilemma, you've got a problem to solve, or you're in an argument with somebody, or whatever your situation is, it's always to ask yourself first and foremost, how am I feeling about this situation? And what we've already learned is that emotion sits in the body. So it's not so much about just going into your head, although we do want to be able to understand those emotions and perhaps categorize them. What we're really doing is checking in with our body. What are we feeling? What are we feeling in our body and what are we feeling in our emotions? And generally, you'll feel them in your body in some way. You might feel that sort of unsettled feeling, you know, where you're just a bit jittery and you're not really quite sure what you're thinking, but something doesn't feel right. Or you might feel this flash of anger, or you may feel suddenly, you know, quite indignant. And we've talked about some of these things before. So what we're going to be doing, the first question, how am I feeling about this situation? And the next question, of course, is what am I thinking about this situation? So the two kind of go hand in hand, but your emotions give you a hint as to what you're thinking. So when you can check in and see how you're feeling, you want to say, okay, so how am I feeling right now? Right. I can feel some tension in my body somewhere. You know, I can feel a bit of a headache, or, you know what, I'm feeling that sort of jittery feeling, or I'm feeling like I want to smack somebody, or, you know, I really, really got angry. The other day, we were talking about triggers, I think, last week. And on, what day was it? Saturday. I went to pick up my daughter-in-law and son-in-law from the train. And my partner was driving my car, and he'd pulled into the car park, and he'd just pulled in and parked and hadn't really thought about where he was parking, and just got out of the car and left. And he basically was taking up two car spaces. And so what happened, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, yeah, and we were looking after their little dog. So I had this little tiny Bichon on the seat next to me. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to just shift into the driver's seat. He's gone, in case I need to move the car. So I was kind of aware that he'd parked in this really awkward way. So anyway, what happened is this gentleman, let's just call him a man. Gentleman is probably too kind a term. Here's me making a judgment here. But he came up in his great big flash car, in his black car, and he kind of parked in beside me. And, you know, he was squished. There wasn't really the space for him to be there. So I was kind of just studiously ignoring him, going, oh, well, it'll be okay. I won't need to move the car. I've got the dog. How, you know, I won't need to move the car. I'll just pretend that I can't see him. Not the best decision. Anyway, I could just feel his eyes boring into the side of me. So I kind of looked, and he's like, move over like this. And I'm like, well, there's all these cars behind me. Anyway, I kind of turned on the ignition and backed the car up and went to move over. What he decided to do absolutely triggered me. He got out of his car. He was a biggish older man in an overcoat. Came around the front of my car, and as I had backed away, next time I look, he's right in front of me, and he's looking in front of everybody. And I was mortified. You know, that's my issue. I struggled with it, but he went and he was treating me like I was absolutely stupid, and kind of, yeah, this is where you park, you know, and doing all this gesturing and posturing. And I, inside of myself, I just flared up. So I knew immediately that something wasn't about this situation, although, you know, clearly he was being a bit of an ass, let's face it, and being really arrogant, and it felt like, oh, you're just a woman, you don't know how to park, I need to show you how to park, you know, that's the thought that went through my head. But that's the connection, you see. I had this feeling in my body, and then I could identify what the thinking was. So the first question is, how am I feeling? When you can identify what's happening in your body, whether it's a trigger or whether it's a pattern, you can then ask yourself the second question, which is, what am I thinking about this situation? And your thoughts will lead you to your perception of life, how you see the world, how you see situations, and how you're responding. So that's kind of the link between those two. So then the third question, once we've figured out how we're feeling, and then we've asked ourselves what we're thinking. So clearly in the situation I was just talking about, I was really riled up instantly. And I don't even know how to describe the feeling. It was just, I felt really belittled and really demeaned. And yeah, it was a public situation, but really, you know, my reaction was out of proportion. Okay, he was behaving in a very arrogant fashion, but seriously, my response was out of proportion. So it led me to go, what am I thinking here? And I'm like, okay, so this man's treating me like I'm an idiot. You know, I feel like there's some sort of sexism going on here. I feel like I'm being treated like an idiot. So all of those thoughts, it allowed me to kind of go, okay, so what am I thinking here? Why am I reacting this way? Something's triggered something. So I was able to follow that thought process. So the third question is, and this is your real tool here in this set of questions with the Rubik's Cube. The question is, what might this situation look like if I was dot, dot, dot? So this is where we use the Rubik's Cube. And if you remember the Rubik's Cube, you've got this thing, right? And it's got all these squares. And the idea is you mix it all up and then you want to create it. So each side has a different color. So you've got six different colors. In order to solve it, you have to turn it around. You have to look at each side quite studiously. You have to sort of have a look and see, well, what's going to be my next move? So before you take a move or make a move, you're looking at each of the six sides, yeah? You kind of, okay, so if I did this and then, and you're kind of doing this slightly investigative mental gymnastic process. When we're looking at the Rubik's Cube, we're looking at how can I shift my perception or how can I shift my perspective? Because what happens with our thinking and our emotions, as I say, we get into this groove. And so there's a pattern, is instantly your mind goes to a certain place. And part of diffusing the emotional response, and clearly I had a very extreme emotional response to this chat. In fact, when my partner got in the car, we dropped off my daughter-in-law and son-in-law and the wee dog, and I went into a rant. And in the back of me was this, well, it's your fault because you parked in a crap way. You made me look like an idiot, which of course isn't true at all. He just parked. I mean, he has his own issues and he got out the car, worried about being late and just left the car how it was instead of parking it correctly. But none of that is the issue. You know, in my agitation, I was like, well, you know, this isn't fair. I got treated in a very derogatory way and I didn't even park the car. This man made an assumption. Clearly, I was sitting in the driver's seat. So, you know, yeah, it's pretty logical that you would draw that conclusion. But, you know, I instantly was like, well, how dare he speak to me like that? How dare he treat me like that in front of all these people in the car park and the car and the next to me was laughing. And it's just like, you know, it just didn't feel like it was really nice. So I got onto a rant and I was really, really riled up. So the question is, what might this situation look like if I was? This is part of the stepping back we were talking about on Thursday. We were talking about stop, step back, look, listen, learn. So this is kind of like the stepping back process, which is really about being objective, kind of stepping away from the thinking and the feeling and going, okay, if I was on the other side of this equation, looking at it from another perspective, you know, remembering turning the Rubik's Cube onto each of the six sides, what might it look like then? So here's where I want you to come up with six different people, because ultimately what I'm hoping to do here is build some tools for you guys. So maybe you can follow along with this. Six different people in your life. So for example, I was going to use the example of an argument. So say you're having an argument with your partner in a public situation. So let's say, instead of sitting in the car and just kind of closing my eyes and pretending this man wasn't here and just kind of calming myself down in my own space, let's say I followed my instant response, which was to get out the car and actually say, you know what, you're being an ass. Let's say I'd done that, which I didn't, thankfully. So the six people that you might want to step into their shoes. So you might say my best friend. So let's say my best friend was sitting in the car next to me and this person was behaving the way that he did. What might my best friend think about this situation? Chances are she's not going to be triggered like I was. So her response to this situation or her perception of it could be quite different. She might think it's hilariously funny. She might think, look, the guy's making a jerk of himself in public. Everybody's going to think he's a total, you know, put whatever word you want in there. So that might be what she's thinking. So while I'm triggered and thinking he's an ass and he's a jerk or he's whatever and I'm, you know, I'm riled up, she might be just going, oh, look at that guy. And instead of her feeling like we were made to look at like idiots, because that's how I felt, she might be going, look at him. What an idiot he is. So if I step into my best friend's shoes when I'm looking at this situation, her perspective is very different. So while I've got this heightened emotion, this emotion that's running through my body, that's, you know, just really an emotional charge. And as we've said before, the higher the emotional charge, the more likely you are to remember it and the more likely it is to create a groove in your brain. Well, there's already one, but it, you know, it's kind of making it stronger. So that's one person. Another person might be a stranger watching. So I saw the people in the car next to me. They were strangers to me. They were laughing. I didn't know, and I recognized in the moment, I didn't know if they were laughing at me or if they were laughing at him. Probably they were laughing at him, let's face it. He was being a real jerk. How might a stranger see this situation? And if I had got out of the car and there was an altercation and I'd had a go at this guy, how might a stranger have judged that exchange? Or how might they have seen it? And you think about it, you think, well, he's a man in an overcoat, a big kind of, you know, quite bolshy, clearly arrogant sort of a person having a go at a woman, but the woman's having a go back. So depending on quite what your existing perception is, you know, the stranger's existing perception, they might think that guy's really bullying that woman. Or they might think, God, she's a bitch. Look at her going at him. You know what? Even if you don't know, when you ask the question, you open the possibility that there's a different perception. Yeah. And that's really the key to this. So how might a stranger judge that situation? So here I am feeling like I'm being made to look like an idiot, but perhaps that's not actually what was going on there. And, you know, even as I'm talking this through with you today, it's useful for me because I'm going, well, yeah, they weren't necessarily laughing at me, but, you know, I've been laughed at lots of times in my life. I've been teased. I've been rubbished. You know, I've been humiliated. So I instantly go there. But it probably wasn't about that. They were probably just thinking, oh, my God, look at him. And does it matter? No, it doesn't matter. But this is about what's happening inside of you and how you can shift your energy and the emotion, that because the emotion is so strong in creating the reality that you see outside of yourself. We want to be making sure that the emotion that we feel strongly is going to get us where we want to go, not where we don't want to go. Another person, so these are just ideas, but find your own six people or your own six. You can just use an icon. So, you know, you can use somebody out of a TV program. You can use somebody out of a movie. You can use somebody from your childhood. You know, you can use your parents. You can use whomever you want. This is just about choosing six people that you have an idea of maybe how they think or how they behave in situations. It doesn't matter if it's fictitious. This is about bringing a fresh perspective. Maybe a child. How might a child see that situation? You know, it's quite hard to tie a child to the situation I was talking about with this man who was kind of not behaving in a very gentlemanly fashion. Let's just put it that way. How might a child view it? And in truth, that child's view would probably be largely impacted by how I was feeling. So if I was feeling angry, the child would probably feel angry. Is that what I want to have happen? Do I want that child to feel anxious or to feel angry or to feel unsure or unsafe? So, you know, even using a child helps to bring you back to a place where you can see how your emotions and how you're feeling in that moment is then going to impact on the people around you. So there's another perspective, yeah? Maybe your partner. And certainly if you're in an argument with your partner, which was kind of the, you know, example I was going to use, it's really important for you to be able to put yourself in their shoes. What might they be thinking or feeling? And particularly if you're going leather and tongs, I think that's an expression. It's an old one. Anyway, I don't know where that came from, but especially if you're like having an argument and you're really riled up and you're angry and your facial expressions and you're frowning and there's a lot of passion behind what you're saying, how do you appear to that person? And also, what's their perspective? You know, you're going off about something that you think or you feel. Their perception's completely different, clearly, because you're on opposite sides of the argument or the discussion, yeah? So step away from how you're feeling and ask the question, how might this other person be feeling? What is their perspective? Hang on a minute. I need to listen in here rather than allowing my emotions to drive what's coming out of my mouth and what's coming on my face and my behavior in my body. Hang on a minute. I need to take a moment and actually listen to what this person's saying. Now, clearly the man who came and parked next to me was annoyed. And you know what? Fair enough. My partner had parked in a really kind of sideways. He took up two car parks. It was busy. It was a Saturday night. There were heaps of people coming to pick people up from the train. You can understand him being agitated or irritated or annoyed. The way he handled it wasn't particularly conducive to getting a great result, yeah? But that's why I reacted. Not because he was wrong. I knew that we were taking up too much space and I knew that I was going to have to move the car. And actually that in itself wasn't a problem. It was the way that he behaved and what happened in me that actually exacerbated this situation and made it flare up and made me really angry and really, it wasn't just anger. There was all this other stuff going on. And so, but if I stopped and I looked at it from his point of view, and I was aware of his point of view, it didn't help me very much in the situation, I have to be honest. But, you know, your partner or, you know, somebody else. Now, I know if my partner had been sitting in the car and this guy had behaved like this, he would have got out the car and there would have been, I'd hate to think, because he can be a hothead. And it's not that he's a horrible person, but he would not tolerate that kind of behavior. But then again, here's the question. Would this man have behaved that way if it was a man sitting in the driver's seat? So many questions. But when you ask those questions, you step away from how you're feeling in the moment, where your brain's going, oh, this is sexist and this is this and this is that. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But we don't actually know what was happening in his brain. He behaved in a way that demonstrated a complete lack of respect for me or any kind of reasonableness, but my brain filled in the gaps, yeah? This is the great thing, is that you can use this tool, you can use the Rubik's Cube to twist it around, have a look at the different sides of something. And then what happens is that it diffuses your emotions, because the minute you add another perspective, your emotions kind of don't make sense anymore, yeah? So there's a part of your brain that steps away from how you feel. It might take a little while for it to kind of settle down in your body, because certainly if you're head up or you're anxious or whatever, there's, you know, there's adrenaline flowing and that can take a little bit of time. But in a conscious way, you can begin to shift what's happening in your head and the emotions will follow, because the emotions are almost, well, pretty much they're a feedback for what you're thinking. We can't always connect with what we're thinking first off. That's why the first question is, what am I feeling? Then what am I thinking? And then this ability to step back and put yourself in another person's shoes and go, oh, well, how might it look if I was? But then it's like, okay, so what's happening here? Why did I get so triggered? Why did I react that way? Why? What am I thinking? What am I feeling? What's just happened here? I want to add a new perspective, because when you add a new information, when you ask a question, you get new information. It adds to the whole and it hooks the situation that's kind of got you riled up or your emotions quite high. Then the next time, actually those questions that you asked get hooked to that emotion. So the next time you feel it, it comes with those questions. Does that make sense? It's a really, really powerful thing, the way, and you can use these tools to begin to create new connections in your brain that become part of your automatic processing. Instead of instantly going into old patterns, you kind of, by asking the questions, you tie them to the old patterns and they begin to change. They begin to diffuse. The energy behind them begins to diffuse. When you're triggered, you're not in a space where you can choose your feelings, but you can choose your responses. You're going to feel how you're going to feel. Sometimes you just have to walk away, you know, but there is space between your feelings and you. And part of what I'm trying to help bring into your awareness is this space between you and your feelings and you and your thoughts. Yes, you're triggered. Yeah, everything's coming. And there's this need to, you know, it's a charge. It drives action. But you don't have to take the action you've taken in the past. You don't have to respond or react. Difference between a response and a reaction is really what this is. And that's where the power of the pause. Yeah, you're triggered. Everything's going a bit haywire inside, but you choose, because you do have awareness, the power of the pause. You count to 10, you know, you flick an elastic band, you hum a tune, you do whatever you need to do to interrupt the thought emotion connection. Take a breath. Okay, how do I want to respond? Yeah, you're still feeling how you're feeling, but it allows you to come back into your mind where you can choose your response. The emotions may take time to go. The feelings may take time to go, but you can choose your actions in the moment. And that's what the actions that we take and the emotion behind those actions really has the power to create our reality. So when we can learn ways to step away from those reactions and take ourselves back into a choice, that's where your power is. Yeah. You have so much power inside of you, and the tools that you can use to transform your experience and transform the way that you show up in the world and the way that you react changes what you get back. It changes the results. Yeah. That's where it's so important, because as you start to unpick those mental and emotional patterns that are kind of, you know, running your life in the background, then they lose their power. And where you did get triggered, those things don't trigger you to the same extent. You'll still get an echo, maybe. You'll still have that awareness, but it doesn't have the power in your life that it currently has. And so this is one of the tools that you can use. Claim that power in that moment, in every moment, but certainly in those moments where you're triggered and you can really feel like you're out of control. That's when you can harness your power. And it's so liberating. It really does make a massive difference. It begins to free you from this, the power of the automated stuff, the automated thinking, the automated emotions or feelings and behaviors that actually deliver these results that we look at them and we go, what the hell just happened? This is not what I signed up for. This isn't what I'm deliberately creating. Why is this continuing to show up? So when we can begin to interrupt those things, diffuse the emotion by creating and introducing a new perspective, it helps us to break the triggers, to diffuse the charge, because that's all it is. It's like somebody's just pulled the trigger and a charge, like a gun that's firing, yeah, like an explosion. When we can begin to neutralize the triggers, the explosion doesn't happen. We get a different response back. Our world shows us something different. The people we are around behave differently to us, and everything changes. Think about you and your partner, right? You're having a row, your best friend's in the room, their best friend's in the room. There's a stranger standing looking, and there's a little kid looking. Okay. So there's six of you. You can have an extra couple of other perspectives there if you want to. So, and the last one is somebody else that you admire. So somebody that you really admire and you respect their opinions, you know, that's the other person that you can bring into this circle. So imagine there's you and your partner going at it, yeah, and there's all these people. How would they all see this situation? Because apart from the stranger and maybe the person that you admire, possibly the friend and the child, unless they're a family member, they've all got an agenda. We've all got an agenda in our relationships with other people. So your best friend would want to see you protected. Their best friend would probably want to see them protected. They would all look at it differently. And when you start to add all these different perspectives into the situation or the circumstances that you're in or the difficulty that you're trying to solve, you know, whatever that is, you can use it in so many different ways. That's what it does. You open your mind, and that thought pattern that's in the groove that's creating these emotions that are, you know, charging through you. Oh, okay. I didn't look at it like that. I never thought about it like that. Oh, yeah. I get how that could be. Yeah? So those things. But what it does is it literally diffuses. It's like that, you know, the you've got a bomb and you've got a, what is it, a fuse wire, and at the end there's a, you're going to light it. Suddenly the light at the end doesn't have enough power to actually ignite the fuse and set off the explosion. Everything just kind of calms down, and sometimes you just feel a bit silly, really. Not in a way where you want to beat yourself up, but you go, oh gosh, you know, I really did kind of overreact there. And what was I thinking? Have you ever had those moments? You go, what was I thinking? I was so stuck in my own head. I just couldn't see, well, they say the wood for the trees, but I couldn't see another perspective. By deliberately adding these six people, five people, whatever, into the situation you're in, and imagine that they're all there and how they're going to see this situation, it totally changes everything. Have you ever been to like a restaurant and there's a couple next to you at the table and they're quite heated, yeah? And there's a bit of an argument going or a bit of a heated conversation. You may not hear the words, but you're watching the body language. It's kind of hard not to because, you know, it's pretty obvious some tension's going on. How do you feel? What do you think? So you're the stranger, yeah? Put yourself in that situation. Say, if I was sitting in that restaurant next to a couple who were arguing, or I was sitting in a cafe across from a situation where a woman got out of a car and had a go at a man because he was being really demeaning, or, you know, how would I see that situation? That's how you put yourself in their shoes. That's how you begin to sort of go, oh, okay, I'm adding a fresh perspective. How many times have you looked at people and they behave and they just look ridiculous, don't they? They're going at it. It's just like, okay, calm down. This is not the time. This is not the place. Really? And then if you can hear the conversation, the perspectives are so different. They're both screaming about something. And yet what I've found so often when I listen to an argument or when I listen to a debate, and years ago when I was doing design work, I did a lot of years, I was an interior designer and I worked, you know, consulting with people, and I'd often work with couples. And if you know anything about renovating or building or any of that stuff, there's a lot of tension, there's a lot of stress in that, and it's a lot of decisions to make. And of course, people have got really different perspectives. So I would find that they both tend to get quite, let's just use the word snippy, just a little bit snippy with each other. And you could hear it, you know, in the conversation. Hang on, my computer's being a pain again. But actually, they were saying the same thing. That's what was always amazing to me, is that although they were coming at it from totally different points of view, there was absolutely alignment in the middle. She couldn't accept his point of view because it was all wrapped up in all the other stuff in their relationship. And he couldn't accept her point of view because of all the stuff that was wrapped up in the relationship, because they've each got their own agenda and their own feelings and emotions that they bring to the table, right? But actually, from my point of view, sitting on the outside, you know, knowing what I know and bringing my skills and my abilities, and then seeing these two people, I'm like, yeah, but, you know, why don't you just do this? How would that feel for you? How would that feel for you? The mediation process really is what that is. But that's always there. This is like doing a internal mediation. It's kind of like, well, actually, if we just add all those perceptions in here, somewhere in the middle is something that is actually just calm and balanced and, oh, okay then. Okay. And you can just, disappears. When you're in this situation, where's my Rubik's Cube? Get out my Rubik's Cube, look at all the different sides of it and go, okay, right, there's a lot of different perspectives here and I'm just in this one. And it's only through my eyes that it's not actually the whole picture. So I can actually step away from this and I can find my balance. And I can remember the next time that, remember we asked those questions, remember the Rubik's Cube, you know, visually connect it, connect the strong emotion with the Rubik's Cube if you think it'll work for you. So that was the sort of six people that you can check in with. So the first question is, how am I feeling about this situation or in this situation? What am I thinking about this situation? So what's the thought pattern? What might this situation look like if I was? So that's where your 5, 6, 4, 2, however many people you want to bring in. You know, I've just used the Rubik's Cube and suggested six, but whatever works for you. The next question is the look, listen, learn part, which we were talking about on Thursday, which is what else can I see or hear here in this situation? What else can I see and hear? If I step back and look around, so we've done the perspective thing, and that's really what this is. So the minute you step into one of those other people's perspective, what can you see now? What can you hear now? Yeah. And when you add that, you create balance. We always have a choice. Yeah. Even in the heat of the moment, we absolutely do. And that's, you know, part of learning the skills and tools that we can use to interrupt those old patterns so that we use the power of choice, because fundamentally that's where your power is. You know, it's in questions and it's in choices, because you are choosing in every moment, and you are in those choices. There are results that flow. There is reality that then you see outside of yourself. Okay. We're still seeing through our own eyes and through our own perception. But you know, there's physical results. There's consequences. There's always a consequence for a choice. And some of those consequences are painful. And when we begin to see those connections, you know, we begin to see, oh, okay, so if I behave like this, this is the consequence. Oh, perhaps I better not behave like that. Or perhaps I can find a different way to be in this situation, because you know what? This is not working for me. But you have to raise your awareness so you begin to see those connections between two things. What else can I see or hear in this situation? And then why am I choosing this current viewpoint? So we've introduced all these other viewpoints. So why are you choosing this one? Because there's 100 other viewpoints that you could choose, 100 different perspectives that you could choose. Why are you choosing this one? What's it connected to? Why is that thought pattern on a groove? You know, what's going on there? Why am I choosing this one? And the sixth question is, how will I feel if I shift my perspective? So all those perspectives that you've looked at, those six different people, if you like, and they've each got a different perspective, you go, well, I'm going to choose. If I was to choose to look at it the way that my best friend's looking at it, how might I feel then? So if we go back to the example, and I say that my best friend was sitting in the car next to me, and she thought it was a hilarious joke that he was just such an idiot, and look at him, you know, while I was triggered and angry, she's just laughing, going, what an idiot. If I chose her perspective, how would I feel? I'd be able to laugh it off. I'd feel so much lighter, wouldn't I? So when you think about the perspective that you're choosing, because we understand everything's a choice, even in the moment when you're triggered, there's still a choice to be made. If I choose a different perspective, how will I feel? Will it make me feel calmer? Will it make me feel better? Will it make me feel more empowered? Will I feel more free in my life? I'm going to choose that one. Yeah. Do yourself a favor. That's the Rubik's Cube. So I'm just going to quickly, just to recap, go through the six questions. First off, how am I feeling about this situation? Second, what am I thinking about this situation? Third, what might this situation look like if I was any of those six people on the six sides of the cube? What else can I see here, both inside and outside of yourself? What else can I see or hear in this situation? Why am I choosing my current viewpoint? And how would I feel if I chose a different one? So those are six questions that you can use. But the six sides of the Rubik's Cube, you know, choose your six people, choose two people, whatever. But put them into your mind. Start to put them in there so that when you're in a situation next time, you can go, what would my best friend think in this situation? What would my partner think? What would a small child think? What would this look like to a stranger? How might a stranger see this situation? And it just is that ability to step away, add some new information, which diffuses the emotion, diffuses the thought pattern, interrupts it. And actually what happens is that then the new pathway that's formed kind of includes those questions, so that that trigger is not as strong the next time, or that thought pattern, it's diffused slightly. It's like, maybe what I was thinking, actually, I can never think like that again because I've added a fresh perspective. You can never go back. Once you add something new, everything changes. You can never go back into the groove. So there are little ways that you can begin to, you know, reduce the power that those neural pathways have in just the superhighway to from point A to point Z, you know, and all the responses or reactions that come with that.